I'd like to welcome everyone this afternoon to our Clark County OHV Vehicle Advisory Committee meeting. Thank you so much for taking the time to come out this afternoon. I know with everybody's schedules, it's just crazy busy, so we do appreciate you coming out. Our welcome to our visitors. Commissioner Gibson, thank you so much for joining us. Commissioner Kirkpatrick is coming out soon. She's at another meeting, but...
Her room is next door to mine, and I stuck my head in, interrupted her meeting, and told her to get down here.
Uh-oh.
You know how well she takes orders.
I was going to say, yeah. I think we're all familiar with that. Well, thank you very much for joining us. At this time, I believe we will take a roll call, Amelia?
Yep, and I just want to announce this is for the March 30th, 2022 meeting, 4 p.m. We have here Debbie Burgos, Michael Fry, Steve Paxton, Ross Williams, Kenny Thatcher, Ken Freeman, and myself, Amelia, Commissioner Gibson, and Commissioner Kirkpatrick will be here for me.
Thank you very much. The first part of our meeting is actually the public comment section. So this period is devoted to comments by the general public about items on the agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board committee about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must vote, must wait until comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. We also have another period at the end of this meeting. It is limited to 3 minutes. Once you stand up, if it's either stand up where you're at, we're a small enough room, please give us your name and address, and then you will have the floor. If you could also spell your name for Amelia, because she is taking minutes, so it's greatly appreciated. Do we have anyone? Well, that was easy. So we're going to go right past that. Next, we have approval of the minutes for our last meeting, which was January 26, 2022. If we could get approval of that, those, or a motion.
A motion.
A motion. Kenny Freeman motions to approve, a second by Steve Paxton. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The minutes are approved for our January 26 meeting. Next meeting on the agenda, our next task on our agenda is approval of today's agenda. For March 30th, 2022, if I could get a motion for approval. Ross Williams motions to approve today's agenda. Kenny Thatcher seconds it. All those in favor? Anyone opposed? Motion is carried, and our agenda is approved for today's meeting. Our next task is informational items. This is for discussion purposes only. Identify emerging issues to be addressed by the committee during future meetings. Does anybody have anything you want to add to our to look into in the future for now?
I think there's enough there.
Yeah, okay. I think there's enough too that we need to get done. All right. At this point, it'll be announcements of general information that may be of interest to committee committees or the general public, which actually I have some. Get Outdoors Nevada is having a cleanup in partnership with the city of Henderson. It's the El Dorado Valley cleanup. It's April 9th and April 23rd from 8 a.m. to noon. You can go onto the Get Outdoors Nevada website and register on there. It is an area where UTVs are allowed, four-wheel drive trucks, horses, motorcycles. In fact, they are actually encouraging you to have a four-wheel drive vehicle to get to the area where they'll be cleaning, because they do not have like a bus transportation to get you to it. So they will actually inspect your vehicle to make sure that it is acceptable to be able to get out to the area that they're actually going to be cleaning. So I think that's, it's all important for us to get involved. We love our desert, and the only way to keep it open for us to be able to recreate in is to also take care of it. So I encourage everybody to get involved if you can. Again, register through getoutdoorsnevada.com. Does anybody else? Kenny, snow events?
No snow events until May 21st in County.
Steve, motorcycle, desert racing?
Currently, we're racing out of county. We're up in Panaca this weekend. And then the 23rd of next month up in Caliente. We won't be back in Clark County until early summer.
All right, perfect. the other organizations. Do you have any Vegas Valley four-wheelers coming up? I know you're Kevin,
then. The newest cleanup that we'll post starting tomorrow, which will be April 30th at the Logandale Trail System.
Perfect. And I think we're going to try to
get support and
partner with you on those. All right. Best in the Desert is having their Silver State Race April 28th through the 30th. And in May, I believe Legacy is having their state line race. That's May 5th through Saturday, May 7th. There's great opportunities with any organization, Snore, Best in the Desert, Legacy, the off-roading, or the motorcycle, Moran, for people to get involved as volunteers to be checkpoints, retrievals. I mean, you guys are always looking for volunteers. So it's a great way to get the best seat in the house for off-road race without owning a race vehicle, I think. I've done it. I used to be in charge of volunteers, so I encourage everyone to participate if you can. It helps their organizations, but I can tell you it is really exciting just to be a part of an event. And I have another one, which the writing is so small. It's from the BLM. There is a comment period for the Paiute El Dorado Valley area of critical environmental concern management plan. And so I'm going to try to read this to you. I apologize that it's just so small. But it says, recognizing the need to balance critical habitat for the threatened desert tortoise with high quality visitor experience, the Bureau of Land Management Las Vegas field office is seeking comments on the draft environmental assessment for the Paiute El Dorado Valley area of critical environmental concern management plan. The virtual public meetings will be April 5th and April 6th, and the comment period will be closed on April 19th, 2022. So if you'd like any information to get to that, you can go to the BLM Southern Nevada website, and you can click on the button and there and make comments. You can email them, or I can get you the information, or any of our board members can. But it's so important that we comment as a community and be respectful in those comments so that they hear what we have to say. I know sometimes it feels like we go unheard, but I can tell you if more of us would voice our opinions in a respectful way, I think we could get more done. So I encourage people to do that.
Is this for an EA out there?
Yeah, environmental assessment, yeah.
Okay. And what's the area?
Well, I can tell you it just says Paiute El Dorado Valley area. So it doesn't have...
It's west of Searchlight is where, you know, when you go on the site and see the map, the dot they placed, it's right there, pretty much right across the highway from the township.
Okay.
And that's off of those slopes where all the Joshua are at.
Have you looked at it?
I have not ridden out there and looked at it personally, only from the highway.
Has anybody seen the document?
Well, I think...
Yes, I was looking at the article on the site today and saw the links where you can do your comments and the mentions of the meetings.
So yeah, so I would encourage everyone to go onto that site and review the documents and comment before the April 19th deadline. Thanks, Steve. And I think that is it that I have for any general announcements. Next, we are very excited. We have some visitors today from the United States Forest Service discuss the OHV use in the Spring Mountain area. Franz, right, and
Jennifer
are here. If you take the floor, and you could please say your names for Amelia, if you want to stand, and then tell us how we can utilize Spring Mountain area with our OHVs, as well as how we can help you make us better recreationists.
All right.
Cool. Thank you so much. Hello, everybody. My name is Franz Hahn.
My last name is Jennifer Bruce.
And yeah, we're both OHV technicians with the Forest Service. We're funded through a butterfly habitat restoration project, the Mount Charleston Blue Butterfly. So even though we are OHV technicians, we kind of focus to the project areas where the habitat's at, which is primarily in Cold Creek, Willow Creek, and on the west side of the mountain in Wheeler, which is, if you guys are familiar with Cold Creek area, Cold Creek and Willow Creek are pretty much in the same area. So We kind of are only in like two areas, honestly, but there are quite a bit of other OHV areas that hopefully we don't really have a timeline on, but we're going to get some permanent OHV technicians that will be kind of spread out in all of our areas now, because honestly, the OHV program has kind of been undermanaged, definitely in recent years. So I think we're kind of at a turning point where we're going to start building it up. But yeah, so that was just kind of like a little intro for myself and Jennifer, and we can jump into kind of the areas that we focus our OHV use at and answer any questions that you guys have.
So yeah, some of the main areas, like Franz already said, we have our Cold Creek / Wheeler Pass, that's your common, 45601 Road, what it seems like 95% of the people go to in those areas. But some other great areas to check out for OHV use would be Sterling. That would be going even further north on the 95 past Cold Creek. Another area that is Forest Service managed is Potosi. Then, of course, there is some OHV use in Lovell Canyon. If you know the area, you're going to be familiar. There's a lot more dispersed camping out there, minus Rocky Gap Road. Gives you some challenge. And then, of course, we have our Kyle Canyon or Lee Canyon. That's where a lot of our developed rec sites take place, so our hiking trails, picnic areas, camping trails. Again, there are some off-road use trails in that area, Champion Road, Max Canyon, but those again are heavily used by dispersed campers. Don't get me wrong, there is still a lot of offshoots and roads to check out in that area. They just dip down into more of BLM territory. Before I do forget, we do have Paris in that area. That would be the best OHV area in our Kyle Canyon developed area. So that kind of sums up the main areas that Forest Service manages for OHV. Real quick, throw your hands up, do you all get out on the trails pretty frequently? Are you familiar with our Forest Service trails out there? All right, so Franz kind of already hit the point really heavily up. The nail on the head that we spend most of our time in Wheeler Pass Cold Creek. So for those of you who have gotten out pretty often, you may notice that the signage out there actually looks pretty good. I'm proud of the work we have done out there. Most of our label trails, if the cover sign has not been ran over, there is one there identifying that it's legal, what road it is, and you can go ahead and go down it. For closure-wise, I can't say that we have blocked everything off. As you all know, community users, sometimes it's better to just hope that doing nothing is better than doing something. But that actually leaves me the opportunity to move into some of our problem areas. Our sweet spots, let's call it that. I'm sure some of you being out there on the trails and stuff have noticed, you see whatever agency it is, they seem to be going back week after week or month after month to redo the same work in a certain area. We'll address some of those spots. Want to take that one away?
Yeah, sure. So we definitely, as I was kind of saying, it seems like it's been a little undermanaged, our OHV areas, unfortunately. And so when we started in April 2021, the areas that we focused in, like all the carcinite signs with our Forest Service road and trail numbers were pretty much non-existent. That was kind of one of our big focuses, was trying to get the public better signage, just to make it easier on everybody to know if they're on a designated road or an unauthorized route. That's kind of been one of our big focuses. So we have definitely been trying to sign everything a lot better. However, we still are having issues with people going around our signs or taking down our work, our naturalization. We've been installing permanent wooden posts to try to block access points to unauthorized routes. We've been having a big issue with on the west side of the Spring Mountains, on the Wheeler side, there's a cabin and a mine called the Los Lobo Cabin. Maybe you guys might have been there. It's up Forest Service Road 45559, and that is going to be just like just west of the Wheeler Pass Road, 45601. And anyways, we had a closure. So there was a closure, an area closure in 2010, and we brought a copy of the closure. We should have brought more copies, but anyways, so there, basically the whole area was closed for protection of property of the mine and the cabin that was there. And we've had a lot of unauthorized routes kind of just impacting the area. And so they closed it, and somewhere throughout the years there was some miscommunication and it was opened up again. And so people continue to use that area, and there's quite a few unauthorized routes surrounding the cabin. So now that we've closed it again, we have a pretty good group of Pahrump locals that continue to use the routes. So that's definitely one of our problem areas. We can pass this around so you guys can look at the closure. It shows on, we have a map with our road 559, 45559, and it shows that where the closure is at the gate. There's a gate on the road that they installed. However, it's not consistent with our motor vehicle use maps that we are handing out to the public. There's no closure on that map that we brought today.
Oops.
So, yes.
When you did your, you've got the info.
Yes.
Motor vehicle use map.
You guys want some?
Which everybody I've talked to from the Forest Service will say that is the Bible.
Yes.
Okay, that is the law of the land, the U.S. Constitution.
I have one.
So when you do a closure that is contradicting what the input says, how does that work? Do you have to go to NEPA? I mean, what's the process that you do?
Yeah, so I wish I had an answer for you, because that's definitely a question that I've been asking as well. Yeah, I don't understand myself why they closed this whole area and wouldn't update the maps that the public is getting. So. I just want to say that there was some miscommunication somewhere, or some, I don't know, I must have maybe got overlooked, or I don't know how that really works. So yeah, unfortunately I don't have an answer for you.
Well, I would invite you to do, obviously there's always a lot of moving parts going on, that's no excuse, but we have, as we've been in this position for about a year, otherwise it's been a very off and on position. So we have now brought this up, and we have let our management know. What you can do to help us out is if you have the time, write up an email, your concerns, what you're noticing, and I'd be happy to pass it on to our management as well.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I've already pushed up to my supervisors, is that we need a lot more consistency, and definitely needing the MBUM updated, because that's pretty much what we're, you know, using in the field. That is what we're using in the field. So a lot of our roads are on the MBUM, it'll stop, but users will keep continuing to go higher up to try to get higher elevation. And so we literally are blocking those roads right where the MBUM says it's supposed to stop. So we're trying to keep it all uniform to match up with the MBUM, but yeah, it's unfortunately has not gotten updated in I don't think a while. So
just one more thing. So
yes.
It sounds like this is sort of an administrative action.
Yes.
Correct? You guys just do it, right?
Yeah, we're kind of.
Okay.
We're just the boots on the ground.
Can you go the other way? Where there is a mistake or something on the MBUM that's perhaps not the way it should be, can you do an administrative action and fix it?
Definitely something that we can ask and see if that's, I mean, it's something that needs to get done, because just the other day I'm explaining this closure to one of our visitors, and then I offer him a map, you know, of all the roads in the area, and he says, well, and he just straight up asked me, is the closure on this map? And I said, well, actually it's not, I was just about to tell you that. And he said, well, I don't want this map, it's no good to me. So it's, you know, we definitely need that consistency, and yeah, it's something that we're trying to move up the ladder for sure.
Okay.
And it does go both ways. I think kind of the viewpoint you're looking at it, where we have roads on there currently, where we are addressing it, looking at it, where it really, it doesn't make sense because it's driving right into a wash that we have closed for access, and the road on top of it doesn't look very safe use. I'm talking about that one in Harris. So I guess what I, how I would express it is, no matter what way we're looking at it, we're working on it. on the ground. I wouldn't say that just, it's easier for us to erase our mistakes.
So in Utah, though, when you get a map, you get a new one every year, they have like little something attached to it that say these are an updated list of things that may have come up in the last year. Why couldn't you just staple something to the inside of the map that says, as of this date, this change has been made?
Do people may I ask? Do they get each time maybe they update their registration a new map, and that's kind of the moment where things get addressed, or is it just ongoing? Like we would really just keep an ongoing list of.
No, it's ongoing because the thing is, if you're here's what I would tell you is people don't just pick and choose; they ride all the time. So if you're making changes, it seems that you should want to update it because. The people that are getting the map are typically new users that have never been in that area, so why wouldn't you give them that information so they know where they're going? Because those of us that have been doing it for a long time kind of know where we go, and if we see a big sign, then something's changed.
Yeah.
But the new users are our biggest problem today because they don't know where to go. They have the shiny new vehicle and they want to go do something. I brought a map because all these folks are going to help me today. Of where our problems are, but it just seems that if a new user, they're new to the area, that's why they're asking for a map.
Yep.
And in Utah, it's super easy. You could get them at the gas station, you can get them anywhere, and it's just something clipped to the inside of it that says, as of this day, it's been changed. It's manpower to sit there and do it, but it's triple the manpower to go fix it every time.
And where can you get your maps? Like, so if somebody, a user wanted a map, where can they get them?
We have them available at our district office, definitely, and I believe you can get it online as well.
Yeah, for those who are not familiar with the district office, it's near off of Rancho and Torrid Pines, roughly. The exact address is going to be 4701 North Torrid Pines, Las Vegas. Also, if you ever see a Forest Service vehicle rolling out in the field, definitely worth asking whoever's driving it. I would say about 98% of the time we have maps on us. Right now, our visitor center off of Kyle Canyon in the developed areas, it's only open Friday through Sunday. Hopefully that is transitioning soon. That should be another location that they do have maps on hand. I would invite you before making a trip out to the visitor center to give them a call. Just would hate to waste the trip. But yeah, those are the few main destinations. So, well, if anyone is an Avenza user, I know you can at least, I guess, is there an emblem on Avenza?
Yeah, the emblem's on.
Yeah, your map is there. I just looked at it to see where I could find this 45 minute map.
I was gonna say, yeah, is the online map?
Yeah, the online map is...
up to date?
it's not, no.
It's
so that's going to also say. And that's primarily what our users are using, our online maps, you know, our phone apps.
Or the GPS. Center, whatever it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even your website is pointing that's people what they're, yeah. to incorrect information.
Yeah.
But I will say this. They have a map they can give you. Whether it's right or wrong, they're giving you one.
A plus.
It's a start in the right direction.
Yeah.
I can't say, you know, tomorrow we'll immediately be able to start working on it. I mean, you know, we're not always work the quickest. But having this discussion, this does also give us more weight on our emails. I think tomorrow I'll definitely go into the office, address this to my boss, Katie, as well as our area manager, Deb McNeil, just urging, you know, the community is noticing the flaws, and that's not a good face on us. So we really do. It is our responsibility. So let's get moving, guys.
Well, honestly, that's why no one likes to work with y'all, right? Because you're not consistent. I said it.
Not you personally. Let me clarify this.
But not
from Jennifer.
Not you. But your agency, right? But I mean, the website literally takes 5 minutes to update.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to send an email to tomorrow, tonight when I leave, if you give me an email
to send it to,
because it just seems that, look, I'm in government, right? And
yeah.
So we try to work smarter, not harder. But if you're spending that much time going back and doing that, and these are new users, the hunt location, hunting season's gonna be starting, to have that ready, the off-road racers, the, all these people, if you could at least update the website.
Yeah.
And it's literally a piece of paper. I live 3 minutes from you. I'll come sit and do it myself for you, that'll be it.
Yeah, I definitely, no, it's been hard for me to wrap my head around too, because if you see the closure, it was signed in 2010, so it's been 12 years and it has not gotten updated. And every time I mention it, it just seems to, I don't know, nothing seems to happen. So.
I'll send an email for you.
Okay.
I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
You guys talk about closures and stuff. Are you guys exploring areas that may have been closed in the past and no longer warrant closing versus with the population, OHV population growing every day? You know, it's like the 9th largest industry in the state now. So you guys talk about closures that happened in 2010. It was closed because of the cabin who limit access. We all know what happens. You guys put up a gate. People see a gate there, and they drive right around.
Yep.
So as far as keeping the roads open and stuff, my opinion would be better to have somebody on an existing trail than to drive through the vegetation and habitat. Is there stuff in the Forest Service where they're looking at exploring routes that may have been closed off in the past that might be open to the public in the future, or is that a possibility?
I definitely think that, yeah, it's, I would personally would like to see not only the MVUM get updated with everything that's current, but I'd like to even see more additions, because we have no single track for any dirt bikes. It's all pretty much just open to all vehicle roads. And so I feel like a big part of our issues are the guys that are trying to, that want more. And so I've been trying to advocate for updating it and adding more trails, potentially designating already existing unauthorized routes that we're having issues with. And so I think that that's definitely something that can happen. I don't know, I just don't know the process and how long it takes.
Where we stand now, unfortunately, we don't have any motions in action. But that is something that, as Franz stated earlier, we are going to be bringing on more manpower in the future. So hopefully that these actions do become a reality. Because what you're saying about the use going up, you're absolutely right. We do have some ideas up our sleeves to maybe define funding and different ideas. I don't know how much I can say or not say at this time, but Franz is an OHV user. He is a dirt biker, so as someone who uses that type of trail and stuff, he sees that every day we're out in the forest wishing that there was more single track over the two track that we have. So I point that out just so you understand. Like, he has a recreator, fully gets it. I'm out there just to, you know, talk to people. And
so how do you suggest as users how we can help make that happen? How can we communicate to your agency the need for more trails and be heard?
Yeah. Well, we can definitely try to put out like contacts of the people, the correct contacts that you're going to want to talk to. So yeah, we can provide you guys with emails. It definitely would probably be Deb's email, honestly. And I had a meeting yesterday morning with our area manager, Deb, and we're talking about the OHV program, and she's aware that it definitely needs some love. And so there are some permanent positions that are opening up. I don't know when, but hopefully sooner than later. And I think once we have some permanent OHV people, I think all these things will start, I think start falling into place. But I really don't have any time on that. But we can definitely give you guys emails. I think it's going to be just reaching out, hearing more of the public, reaching out, as opposed to just us kind of
talking. Yeah, like I don't want to waste anyone's time, but we are in our manager's ears and stuff. We are out there, we count our contacts. We keep track of so much random stats and data out there. I'm still trying to sculpt my head around the best way to present it to show the evidence that what we do need out there. But as we're still working on that end of the pie, my best solution right now is getting more and more of the public to reach out. And that's even, I was telling all of you who are folks already very involved in the community, sometimes I run into people out in the field who they really don't want anything to do with the government or anything to do with me, but we have an okay conversation. I give them my email because we need every viewpoint perspective to go back to my boss, and she needs to see how many people are asking these questions, not just me saying, hey, I talked to this person today, hey, I had this conversation, because she's hearing that. But it's not, you know, making enough action
to move the needle
yet.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Real quick, so a federal deal, you're supposed to have a hard license plate, right? Is that still a thing?
For OHV?
Yeah.
No, you can get the just the stickers.
So is it just certain areas like Grand Canyon? You got to have a hard one.
Forest Service in our area, we just need the stickers, and I'm glad you bring that up because we obviously Nevada has their own OHV state stickers that sell for around $25 annually. But those of you who do go out of state or have friends, we also accept Arizona, Utah, California. Honestly, if you ran into me, I'm gonna take South Dakota or anything you paid into the pot. But yeah, so there's some form of registration showing just a sticker that you paid into a system we do require. But I also like to tell folks, at least for the Nevada pot, sticker fund, that all goes into a huge pot of money that each year different OHV groups, either federal or nonprofits, can apply for this grant money for either OHVs, new trail construction, routing out trails, yada, 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 whatever you can imagine.
Has your office been in contact with the Dixie office with the rec plan? Because they seem to be.
No, we have not. At least not that I'm familiar with.
You guys should talk with the Southern Utah because every weekend they pull hundreds of thousands of people into Utah. Because we don't have an area here to recreate in the summertime.
The truth.
I've been to the Dixie down there, and
they've got it figured out.
They do
basically need to get a hold of a rec planner and see what, because they've done a lot of the work, and that might help you guys out.
For sure. That's a good idea.
They did a good job.
And then I just have one more question.
Yep.
So we had discussed, and I thank you first because. You were the first group from the U.S. from the Forestry Service I've seen at an off-road race tech and contingency. They were at the Mint 400, and we appreciate that because that shows our community that you guys do our care, and it gets information. So thank you to that. But we also discussed about possible a cleanup in your area that we could help out with in the future. So I know you had mentioned somewhere there's some signage or something that you had talked about. I don't know if you remember. The trees, yeah. On the trees.
So we do have, it's referred to as the sign trail. It's an unauthorized single track route that's actually, it's just past, it's in the closure in that area off of 559. And there's 41, they're actually, I believe, they might be county street signs. They're like one way, there's like a 95, there's a 95, 215. Yeah, so there's a bunch of street signs that are, installed on trees throughout this single track route, and there's 41 of them. So yeah, we definitely we're gonna plan on removing all those signs soon, and we were gonna do a volunteer project, and we've already kind of contacted Friends of Nevada Wilderness because it is in a wilderness study area, and so I think we're gonna do that. But we just got an email from one of our fire guys today that Level Canyon off of the 160 on the west side is in desperate need of a cleanup, he said. So.
More than normal, I guess.
Yeah, and that's where we have a lot of our, it's a dispersed camping canyon. It's actually 12 miles of a paved road, if you guys are familiar. And there's a lot of dispersed camping off of it. And unfortunately, we get got users that stay longer than they should and kind of just leave all their stuff there. So I believe that there's quite a few abandoned campsites.
I can help you people to talk to you.
Okay.
Well, we'd like to be able to, I mean, that's what our goal is, to have more cleanup, so I think we can help you with that area.
Great, yeah, he literally sent that to us this morning. So.
Okay, perfect.
And not as much in your areas, but if you folks are ever looking for opportunities in the developed canyons, happy to set you up with one of our nonprofit partners, Southern Nevada Conservancy. They can offer you all kinds of opportunities, so certainly don't hold back. They want to get you out in those harder areas.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much. I think that's any other. I really appreciate, we really appreciate you coming today. I think education is power, and so we appreciate it. And if you can send me whatever emails, I can share it with our board.
Okay.
And then Amelia can also get it out to the public, so we'll put it in the minutes. All right?
Yeah, we'll give you the contact info.
Perfect.
So you guys can reach out.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Thank you
for having us.
All right, next, issue tracking list manager updates, add items or delete items from the issue tracking list, which I sent an email because I think there's several open issues that we really need to either update or get some movement on it or something because they're just sitting there. Kenny, which one is yours?
Number 15, we're talking to Leland. They're going to try to make the next meeting. They're going to start looking at different areas because of all the proposed land changes that have a possibility of becoming permanent, so they're going to start looking at other areas to open up for competitive events.
So are you going to hope they'll have someone at our next meeting, which
yes.
is in,
yep.
When is our next meeting, in May?
May
25th. May 25th? Or 20 what?
May
25th. May 25th. Okay, thank you. Anything else on your other? I think you have 19, 20.
So we got 19.
And then 20, I think, is yours too, right?
Yep.
Oh, it's combined with 19. Okay. All right. Thank you, Kenny.
But with the 19, just or have you 15?
Yeah.
There's a question for the commissioner. I think it was like what was the Mint had their permit to 2023, and they were all optimistic like this landfill is going to happen, but it's like way in the future, right? Like way.
I spoke
like, to that airport going in like in my lifetime, or probably not.
You never know. You never know. But here, but this is why we said that it could take 10 years. It's an average 10 to 12 years to get a public landfill done. So I would.
And I spoke to that jerk. That this morning from Senator Cortez Match's office, and as Commissioner Kirkpatrick said, it's in committee. They're hoping that's what they're looking for, them to make some comments, revisions. But we do have time. You can still comment, send your suggestions or comments to Senator Cortez Match's office. Anything regarding the pending lands bill, they're still taking in, you know, your opinions and suggestions. So,
but even if it got approved, right, we got to deal with the water issues that we have today, and then even the infrastructure. It's about $300 million today of what we would need. So, a ways away.
Have we been told that we will get permitted in that area until
right until something happens?
Tell yeah. Well, I can say that.
So the cows come home.
So the
Is there a chance we get permitted on the airport land?
No. I don't know about all that, but you'll get to stay where you're at.
We were there, though. That's the problem.
I know.
That's an interesting comment. We're looking at a project that will cost us $12 billion to build, which isn't going to happen overnight or even in a decade. And if we do it, it'll end up being a public-private partnership, because we don't have $12 billion, and the airlines are not going to give us $12 billion. So it's interesting point you make. I mean, so for the time being, isn't there some arrangement or some accommodation that could be made? And the best bet is probably no, but it doesn't hurt to ask and it doesn't hurt to try.
You could pay us the permit fees instead of the BLM.
I think they'd be happy to pay as long as they can rent.
It's easier to deal with.
Some days.
Yeah. And you say the time frame, it might be 10 years. My dad did the soil studies on that. About 1999, when it first, they said that they down 20 feet and backflow over
tight. Kenny and I sat on the committee back in 19, I can tell you so. Yeah. But that's why we were very happy that the county had given us that they, you know, guaranteed that they would permit us, let us permit, they would keep permitting our events until ground was actually broken. So,
well, but right. Kenny, to your point, is like not part of that. Those signs are out there, so I'm not really sure where the airport is, but do we not go on some of it?
No.
The Mint wasn't like last year, did it? They went right across that dry lake bit.
Yeah, they kind of
went across. We'll at least ask. How about that? Jim and I will at least ask.
We're going to.
But we're not promising nothing.
Okay?
We'll do our best.
You heard that.
And all we're doing is asking environmentally minded people whether or not we can do that, right? Yeah. So the odds are what? Well, not zero, but.
You never know. I'm a positive person. All right.
Wild card Wednesday.
I know. Exactly. Exactly. Let's see. Kenny Thatcher, how about?
So number 10 and 14, I think we can combine and drop either one or the other.
Well, they're all combined with number 4.
Yeah, I would say, we could probably drop number 10 because basically the same thing. I've already given maps.
But what is our goal of this task is what I'm wondering, because it's not the county's job to make the, you know, so what is our goal?
Originally, when we started with Donald, and then Donald was the issue manager, and I became issue manager when Donald left, and we basically turned over a lot of the maps and stuff that we got access to. I gave the, we had a meeting over at the building department, and where Marcy's office is, and I think it gave it to Amelia or somebody else, but I had everything that was ever permitted all the way back to 2010 in Clark County.
Yeah, but
if I remember correctly, the reason why this came about was because in the public lands bill, Marcy said that we would help design trails and do those different things, right? Yep. But I can ask Marcy, Jim and I can ask Marcy if we can at least be ahead of those trails and start creating them anyways, because she does have all the information in lieu. So I can ask, but I mean, I think that you probably only need one of these,
keep
the trails. So
and then we can update it to say that the map, the information's been provided to
the county.
The
because
county.
We do need trails at the end of the day. This is the reason, right? We have, I'm gonna show you all, because I've been working on the Logandale trails. I want to kill myself. Go over them.
So. No, that is not a good thing. All right.
Debbie,
yes.
Do you want to delete 10, or do you want to say it's complete, or what do you?
I would delete all of them except for 4.
Well, I think you can just say complete. Say 10 and 14 are completed.
Well, yeah, that already have combined that 4.
Yeah, yeah, but I think he wants them off. Off the list.
Like
Kenny wants less. So I think you could, on 10 and 14, say they're complete.
Yeah.
And then it's all in the language of the 4. I mean,
yeah.
All right, so you can move those off.
So we're trying to get this down to 3 pages to 30.
Well, we're trying to make progress. It's really not about the pages, it's about the work.
We're making progress.
All right, so number, let's see, Steve. I'm just going to go down the list. So Steve, number 7.
Several comments. First, let me, something on the Bureau of Land Management website that pertains to this. They've got a public comment on the transmission line proposal down near Laughlin. I personally don't know if that, looking at the map, if that invades like where the BITD and legacy courses go through. It looks like it does. So that may have some impact. I think we should be looking at it. Get involved with the comments. That's what I would recommend, not only at the county level, but also spread the word. Obviously, I'm going to be talking to Moran about it and get people going on this as early as Saturday at the race, because they're going to have meetings also pertaining to this stuff, and they want us to be involved. So I encourage you to visit the site, look it over. If you'd like, I can read some of this, or if you'd like me to be short, I'll just move on to the next portion.
Oh yeah, I'm going. Thank you very much.
The priority level on number 7, since it's the whole original structure was around the Gemini Solar Project, that's kind of come and gone now. So, and we've been talking a lot about the Abbey and the area, that whole entire region down around Laughlin, all the way up to the cattle guard that's on the other side in the Gene area. There was a lot of focus on that, hence we put it on high priority. The Abbey portion has been discussed. I think it's being recommended by one of the senators to be added to the land use bill. So I don't know that this needs to be high priority anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make a recommendation or we move that it changes to either low or we call this portion complete because Gemini isn't involved any longer, and we move on to developing a different one. Or just close it, we move on, and if we need to create something else, we can decide.
I think because of Gemini,
Maybe that's kind of where I'm going.
But to your point, like here, it talks about future solar stuff. Is that going to be more or less of an issue going forward, do you think?
Well, I know that the BLM is inundated with the solar request, and that's part of the reason why the whole permit process is, some people aren't even getting their permits done because their manpower is going to all these applications that have come in. I don't know. That's why Legacy had them there.
Once more. If you go on the website, they've devoted a whole section to the permit process to educate people on how to do it. So obviously, there's a huge amount of confusion, like you just said, Debbie. You're inundated. The last time I talked to an individual, he's not even part of the BLM office any longer. I'm having trouble getting through it. I want to talk to him. He informed me that it's out of control, and that was near the time when we were first brought together.
Oh yeah, it for sure was.
And so that's some time ago, and it hasn't changed.
No, it's increased.
And I think it's under like 600 or something permits in queue that have.
There was 279 because I wrote it down. No, that's what it was then, but it's gone up now. It's gone up now, so. And that's why they're having issues.
My question is, then is it going to be inevitable?
Well.
Like, or
you
turn down, you let one.
Well, so far that's been happening.
That's what I'm saying.
But
we have that much. I'll make sure that you're
again, you know, these are important facts. We can speak it out. But they're putting up there on the website the process, educating people on how to get the job done. That's not helping our cause as far as recommending to Marilyn and Jim, if you can get some control over the county because it's out of hand. They're ready to put all this in, as we all know. But what they're not ready to do is listen to the folks that want to go out camping in areas where that you run across, or the single line that you and I like to go on, or the Jeep trails and off-roading events that you guys all love to partake in.
What did I miss that we're not
doing? Solar
with renewable energy stuff.
Listen, I got that stuff out of Moapa.
Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying? If it's like an ongoing, submittal, like one day are they going to approve something?
I know. Well, here's what I will tell you, though. The truth of the matter is the 2030 plan, we're running to, and it's not a county thing, we're running into issues where the 2030 Biden plan says that solar has to be the top priority, right? So the crazy thing is we've put in a bunch of SNPLA applications that have been denied for parks, so they put in solar. So we're in the same boat as you all. So I'm just telling you that, and there's a solar project coming along Cold Creek area, right? You guys would know about that.
Cold Creek?
Up in Cold Creek?
It's on the valley.
It's coming.
I see that face.
Right?
Yeah. That looks like a surprise to them.
Okay.
So I'm just seeing, here's the issue is, some solar is okay, right? But at the same time, we gotta, like, I worked on the monument stuff with folks that say, no, we gotta have OHV stuff and some of this other stuff, because otherwise, what are you preserving, right? So on the solar, though, it is, I will tell you this, BLM has done a really good job of saying no, 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 but they took 240,000 acres and put in solar permits on them.
It seems like inevitable. Just, you know what I mean? They're trying to delay the inevitable, it seems like, because you keep submitting applications.
Waiting, right? Trying to get people not
to speak. I mean, they try to burn people out, right?
That's why we're not going to burn out, Mike.
So how come the environmentalists aren't, like, freaking out?
They are, though. Some of them are.
A lot of them are, because
I think for
too
once,
much.
We're kind of on the same page. Because we're all against solar going, taking away our public lands to recreate in, whether it's hiking
any
or
kind
riding.
Of recreation.
Yeah, so
put it all in Boulder City?
Well, I mean, I'm not opposed to that.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, but that's your point, right? So as Nevadans, we've all said, they're coming in, taking up our recreation lands, and we don't get the benefit of the energy, right? So until the energy stays here, in District B, we don't. But, I mean, the one coming out of Pahrump, as much as we tried to say no, no, no on that one, it got pushed through anyways.
Yeah. There's one in Pahrump.
Yeah.
The Red Solar Project. I pay attention to that because I wrote the solar legislation in Nevada to get us started, not to take us over. Right?
They're going to put it in right there.
Kudos to you.
So,
Red Copper, I think.
So we're going to go back to the...
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's...
Ongoing.
Yeah, I agree, but not at a high priority. Yes, right. If we can, let's.
I
recommend down
like a minimal, like a medium.
Well, I think that you, if it were me, what I think that you guys should do is put it down as a more as a task for all of us to do every month is to stay on top of any newest solar units to make sure that we can get the information out so that people can comment. I mean, I think it's a mission of what we do is to.
No, obviously, it's never going to be heard. So we'll continue to monitor it.
You're right.
So on
down.
Got that, Amelia? We're going to change it to low, and then just blow. You can put in the status that the advisory board will continue to monitor the ongoing solar projects and report back and.
Take Gemini off of there.
And you,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, Gemini's gone.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Gemini can be removed. You could, but you remove all that other language that's there. And then say that we're going to continue to monitor all of the applications. And then if you could remove the Gemini Solar underneath the name of the issue, because that project's thankfully toast.
And if nothing else, make sure that we can at least get some roads in between the ones that are coming so that we can continue those trails. Because you can do both.
Yeah, oh, no, we
yeah
do that
I agree. Moran is really big on that idea. Can't we work something out where we can both be in there? You know, we know the power is needed, but can't we go around it? You know, use it like the perimeter of it.
And it was worked out in a primary. I mean, that was, yeah.
Like prim.
Yep, prim is worked out, and then we worked out with the tribe with the hunters, because what happened is they were trying to close off the road to actually go hunt Arrow Canyon. So we worked a way for it to exist. Both exist. It can all exist.
Cool. All right. Thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm. Ross, number 12, do you have any updates?
Well, at our last meeting, I thought it would be 30 days before we submitted to the BLM. And it's taking a little bit longer because we had to go back and do some edits. There were some conflicts with some private land holdings that we had to kind of engineer around. So those edits have been done, and they're analyzing them to see if they're, you know, all doable. So that's a little bit of delay, but you know, it should be submitted soon to the BLM. It is, I think, the total mileage here on this portion of the loop trail with the BLM, and the national parks, and the reclamation, it's like 215-ish. That combined with the Forest Service motorized routes that are already designated, we'll have 80% of the mileage of the Las Vegas Valley Loop Trail designated. Now, once it's submitted to the BLM, I'm not an expert on what the process is, but I know that there is. But you know, way back before COVID, they were talking about a 12-month approval time from start to finish, and who knows?
Yeah.
But
it's right on.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And then, Amelia, if you want the language that's under status, that can all be removed because it's completed. A letter was prepared and finalized to, and was the county with us promoting that project. So that's already well done.
And Marilyn, if you get my email that I sent to you after last meeting.
Yeah, I didn't respond. I read it, though. Okay. Sorry, I have a lot on my plate. I'm trying to get out of it.
I get it. I don't want you
But to... I have it. So. Okay.
There's just a few. I mean, there's a whole list of things that I kind of need an assist on, and I don't want to take up your time, but if you could...
Yep. No, I will look at it this weekend. Sorry. I got it. So, at least I own it.
So did that make sense to take out the language there now and just add what Ross just said? Perfect. Thank you.
So Ross, is this all kind of like used like as a private citizen, or like yeah. some areas are blocked off or something?
You mean like right now?
Like right now, if you should give me the map, then I just go. Burr.
Well, there's most of it is available right now.
Yes.
There are a few little things like. Our Forest Service friends on my wish list is opening up that road that goes to the top of Mount Potosi. That'd be very cool. There's some communications equipment up there. You know, I would think that the access to the communications equipment could be mitigated so that we don't remove a very cool scenic point of interest from the inventory for the public. But stuff like that. There's going through the National Wildlife Refuge, that's one of the two areas that are national parks where you do have to have a plate. And so if you have an unplated OHV, you can't do it. But and then even if you do have a plated OHV, you get down to the bottom of the Aspie Road, and there's currently a fence and a gate at the county facility yep. there, whatever it is, a water facility or something,
mm-hmm.
To get through. But I mean, most of that stuff, I rode the whole thing when I did the feasibility study. And I had to only, that was one area where I had to, what the heck was that? I think I got lucky and they had to get open that day. Most of it's accessible.
And if you might have done this already, I apologize. Can we get that from you?
Yeah.
And we can go try to burn it in?
Yeah.
All righty. That's not on the record right now. Oh, it's legal though.
Yeah, that's exactly
never mind, yes, go recreate away. Thank you, Ross. And if I can help with anything, please.
Well, there's up to this point, it's kind of worked for me to be kind of working alone on this, just to eliminate the noise.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get the whole BLM thing done and get that in the books, and basically get the majority of it done, and then we got to fill in the cracks with the other things. That's where I think maybe this committee could really help us out, and kind of divide and conquer and try to get those things put to bed.
Well, please reach out to us and
we're
here to help. Okay. Thank you very much. Number 21, Mike Fry. Well, I think it's really done.
That one's complete.
It should be complete because we already met. Well,
yeah,
but they didn't have those
complete,
areas, all right?
But then when we met with Masco, they had kind of...
They changed it back. They changed it back.
What do we have, like...
They changed it back.
But did they put, they didn't put all these areas in, because when we had that meeting.
It was mainly just a folder on that landfill.
It was in, there's not, I think there were some areas up in Bunkerville and whatever, but
there was over, Overton, Moapa, Bunkerville,
yes.
For sure that the county even designated Glendale area. And honestly, some of that we were able to, I think Indian Springs, and I don't know where Stump Springs is, but Glendale we were able to actually protect with BLM for them to be in it because it has a couple of cultural facts there. So, and there's a mining rights over there too. So we actually met with the people that are going to put the cement mine in there, and we told them that there needed to be a designated OHV trail. It's 200 some acres. They're taking that whole area in Glendale, so we're gonna
really?
Do it through that process. Mm-hmm.
So the one I remember is the Moapa area. Obviously, I met with those town boards, but I think that all got nixed.
No, we made her put it back.
What did they put it back? Because I thought they made the res bigger there or something. We met with
We did. We did give the reservation some land back so they could build housing, but we we there's a great divide that we did there, because we're actually going to need some of that area for a road at some point, but it stayed in the disposable area, which is the Moapa part, which is on purpose because I need some economic development out there.
So help me if I'm wrong. So it sounds like it might have changed since we met with Masto's
office. You said we wouldn't. She couldn't even get the board, any of the board members, to support what she had on OHVs at that point. So she changed it back.
Is there a newer map then, maybe?
I can ask for a newer map.
Yeah, because
we even got her to change the designation, because what do you mean all recreate? We said no, OHV.
I'll send an email right now. I'll just send an email.
Okay. So I think that.
Because I know we were looking for better maps when we had the meeting. We were looking, because the maps they gave were very archaic and very primitive. So,
but understand that the disposable area is separate, and that is specified as things that we're going to use for economic development. So okay. We've included it in any economic development discussions we've had.
Okay.
There's a big mine. There's a bunch of mining claims out there. There's 246 acres.
So, Millie, if you want to put, say, we're going to get an updated map to confirm that those areas are included.
Yeah. I can't speak for Indian Springs, though, but I'll ask.
All right.
Yeah, I think that got nixed a lot because of maybe Creech or something super big out there, if I remember right. But whatever. But we can get a new map, then we can see.
Can you send me an email, Amelia? I meet with Creech next Wednesday, so I'll ask them.
Good, because I have a question for them, too. All right. Anything else on that? Thank you. 22, that would be me. And if you could remove Dave, because he's no longer on his name from there. I think I was the only one from the committee that participated in the Mint 400 cleanup, but I think Steve was marking course for the Mint 400 for the bike part, right?
Yeah.
It was a super windy day. I don't know if it was 20 or 30 mile hour gusts, but they still had about 150 people, 200 people show up, and there was still probably 25,000 pounds of trash picked up, unfortunately the same area we just did in October, and it's 90% of shooters trash, which is unfortunate, but that's what it is. But I still think it was very successful. Thank you, Commissioner Kirkpatrick, because she donated a lot of the, I don't know the official term, but the pickers, you know, the trash pickers, I don't know if there's an official word for that, gloves,
trash pickers,
and South Point Hotel donated several thousand bags of trash bags to the project. So it was, they were very appreciative for that. So thank you, and for any of our guests here that attended, greatly appreciated. We are working on, hopefully, as Kevin announced, that they're doing an April 30th cleanup in the Logandale area, correct? So he'll be sharing the information once he gets more confirmation, and hopefully that we'll throw support to that, because our plan is not to conflict with other cleanups. You know, it's really, we should organize our efforts. So we will definitely, Kevin, if you'll let us know all that, we'll make sure to get promote that and also get you some resources. I know I spoke to Jeremy or to Republic Services again, and they've thrown their support to any cleanup we're doing, as well as Clean Desert is on board now with financial support and product support. So we're hoping to get other partners in the community involved because I think that not only helps our desert, but it also shows uplifts our community, the OHV community, in the public's eye. So we're hoping to do that. Also, I announced the April 9th cleanup for El Dorado Valley. We'd really like to push that support for that. We want to do Nelson Hills, but I think our Nellis, I'm not sorry, Nelson Hills, but Nellis area. But I think it's going to have to wait till fall now because we're going to run into hot, I don't know. With April 30th, and then I think we're gonna run into, it's gonna be hot. Unless we can get some cleanups up in our mountain area with the Spring Valley people, something where it's cooler, I think maybe in September.
Here's what I would tell you, we don't recommend doing them because it's too hot in the summertime, so we don't at the county even do them from June to August. And honestly, there's only 6 weeks that kids are out of school this year. But I've asked EDC for a donation to, here's what they're going to do. They're actually going to use Nellis Dunes for parking this year. So we've told them some upgrades that we'd like to see along the way.
Good job.
They're doing it.
Oh, Well, we like that. Well, that's our an area we're going to concentrate on is Nellis Dunes.
Even
and now Level Canyon.
Some bathrooms out there.
Level Canyon might be a great area. Right?
Yeah, Level Canyon, I'll look at that too then. But kudos on Nellis Dunes with EDC.
Hey, they only, you know, here's what I learned. I learned that they only make, that they only pay $100 for the parking permit. I'm like, what the hell? I'd like that gig. You know what I mean? So I'm getting my $100,000 worth out of them. So my parking permit.
Well, hopefully, and also with Creech Air Force, I know you mentioned them. I know I spoke to their programming manager out there, their public, actually, information officer. And they're looking to later in the fall do a cleanup in that area, which could probably kind of go in your area as well, because Cold Creek's out there. So they have a huge, I mean, there's 1,000 people out there.
Yeah.
And they really want to be getting volunteered. And they believe that getting volunteered with the OHV community is a perfect fit. So, but we're getting, that'll be in the fall time, just because we're running out of cooling.
And they'll also like our registration component, because we try to do one on the base for them often. So you should add that where they can get registered
to
safety class, and we can get some donations. They like that. A lot of them have vehicles.
So that's updates on the cleanup component. And then as far as information, number 23, thank you to you guys. You, like tonight was what perfect example of education. That, I think, was really good for us to do. Also, get information like the maps out. Kenny's going to have BLM come out. That's another way to educate the public. I think also we can look at other ways to share information, but I just met with the rural Melanie?
Megan.
She's in the rural outreach program with Commissioner Naft, right?
No, Commissioner Jones and Commissioner Miller.
Oh, thank you. Well, they're having an issue in Sandy Valley with OHV users, primarily teenagers, ripping around town and just causing havoc. They did a big public meeting, or they did a school meeting with the faculty and the students. Bryce Minzy went there with his trophy truck. We had BLM there, or BLM was there, trying just to educate them but get them excited. You know, you have Bryce Minzy, this, you know, Red Bull athlete, hotshot driver, to hopefully get them to understand that you can still have fun, but you don't have to drip around your town. You know, there's got to be, you got to be responsible.
Yeah, I want to, can I add to that right now? Can I?
Sure,
no,
I'm afraid. No,
going.
Go ahead. No,
I,
go.
Well, I just want to put some things out there because I'm feeling frustrated. One is, you know, the OHV committee, the state one, remember they came here? But they're encouraging Metro to stop all these OHV riders. So now what we have is a cat and mouse game, and it's creating havoc. So we get no less than 30 complaints a day from Logandale. And now we have the officers. They got a grant to do tons of enforcement at Nellis Dunes from my friend that was here the last time. So there, and I'm like, enforce what? They're not.
I thought they. I thought
that was county.
I thought that was a county. I thought they worked for you.
Well, I had to have that conversation with the sheriff because I'm like, hey, wait a minute, we got to have a community. But so it is creating havoc. We have to figure out how to.
Well, I don't know. We had just. We just discussed this though because there is so much misinformation out there. Like we even the helmet law. So residents who don't OHV or even residents who do, they think the law is one way, but it's not. But they call the, you know, they call law enforcement and call. And they get those complaints, and then the OHV users think it's another way because there's not really clear-cut information out there. So everybody's confused, and they're pointing fingers. So I think if we can try to get through all that bull and get the real, you know, where you can drive OHV, can you drive it on the street, blah, blah, blah. You know, all those kind of things. It's been a controversy ever since I've been.
I know, but here's what I'm going to tell you, though. I think that it's an urgent communication matter because the anti-OHV people are loud now, super, super loud, to where in Logandale they want to shut everything down, right? And I'm like, we can't do that because it's your only economic driver today, right? But I just am worried that it's going to get so loud that we can't get it back under control, and I think that we have to figure out what the rules are. So for me, for instance, with Logandale, I said, can I have a damn map of where you can actually ride in Logandale? And I was just meeting with NDOT and said, Why won't you let us have more than a 2-mile trail system? Because it's creating so much havoc. So I'm nervous for y'all because I get no less than 30 complaints. And the Sandy Valley stuff, you know, that guy came here and he said we didn't respond to him. And then he went up, walked all the commissioners and said we didn't respond to him. And then people, you know, gave him the bird, and then it got worse. And so now it's just antagonistic.
But is that locals? They said kids. So locals?
Well, local kids.
Local kids, that's what the been reported. So that's why they did an assembly.
To see what Matthew got.
From my public works department, so it's the and the ordinance. I'm teaching it now.
So we're going to give... So it's still a high priority, obviously. We're going to do a lot more education, and we'll address what you just some of those issues. All right? So that's it for that one.
Well, but to your point, Debbie.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And Commissioner Patrick, like, we don't have, like, an ad campaign or nothing.
I know, like, but I think we got to get one together.
We have all this money.
We need a public,
this, you know,
PSA
OHB.
Is what they're called,
right?
Right. Public service.
Yeah.
Well, you know that I was not polite when we had our last guest, so I've learned to be very quiet. But let me just tell you.
Is that something we can do? Like, how do we...
Listen, I'm actually...
To do a PSA deal.
I will offer Channel 4 if we
all
want
right.
to use
okay.
those. I can offer...
Well, I'm just saying, like, is that something
that
we
no, I think it's a good. I think it's a good idea to do that, plus... For the shooter area, where you, what you, listen, pull, track it in, track it out. If you're going to go shoot, put a tarp out,
personally,
grab stuff, and bring it in. I think it'd be a great, I think it's important.
Does the state OHV have access to money easier than we do?
Well, they have, the grant's opening in July. You can apply for $1 million. Ross has been very good at this. And the gentleman, Mike, Matthew came here before, her friend. And spoke
far from it.
He wasn't with the OHV.
But he, no, he
no,
works for
he's
them.
Contracted
he's
with them. Remember
like
I asked
lobbyist.
How much you're getting paid, fella, to go come tell us? You're my
no.
lobbyist.
I mean, he's encouraging people to apply for grants, so I don't want to do, you know, it's important. But we could do that. That's something that we could do. We could apply for a grant. Now, he's offered to help, but I think we have, Kevin's applied for a grant and got it.
We got a grant, yes.
So I think we have great resources in this room that we could apply for grants or encourage our local community to apply for grants, such as that, or?
Well, I think we should apply for a grant for marketing and educational materials, just so we can go out and do stuff throughout the year.
I have a question for you, Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I heard you saying is that because Metro got money from the OHV Commission, then for enforcement, that this is causing a problem.
A big problem.
Okay. What is the problem? Because this, I mean, you know, this is kind of referred to, I refer to it as the little county problem. You know, you get the crazy kids that are irresponsible and they're running around, basically screwing it up for everybody else. And what is the solution to this? You know, I've run into this with my project. I ran into some heavy resistance down in Boulder City because of little Johnny. And, you know, what do you think, can we, like, maybe come up with a solution to this as a group? And see what a good coordinated response to this would be, because if it's not enforcement, that's causing new problems. That's kind of new to me. But.
Well, I mean, so here's the thing, though. So Loganale, Overton, they're unique all by themselves, right? They love to hate each other, so they gotta determine which day. So I always have to be Switzerland and be super neutral because they're a tight-knit community, but the problem is people are now getting rid of their OHVs out there, their side-by-sides, their motorcycles, because they were getting stopped all the time. So as I called the sheriff and I called the captain, I said, what the hell? Why am I getting all these complaints from the riders? Oh, they're speeding. I go, if you're on the silty sand and you're going 10 miles an hour, you're throwing dust up. I don't care what you call it. So are you radaring them? What are you doing?
So
they're going...
The riders complain.
No, well, the thing is, it's not the riders, it's the people. I'll tell you this one. Here's one that we got yesterday. The ATV trail is 20 feet from my house and causing dust problems, noise problems, and most importantly, safety issues. 8 and 9-year-old kids drive by speeds faster than 35 miles, which I find hard to believe because you can't do that right there because there's a lot of this. And if you went 35 miles, you'd be flying, right? And it's not just kids, it's adults, dirt bikes, ATVs, side-by-side, dune buggies driving all way too fast. And so it's a perception. So now Metro got a grant, and I drew the line with the captain and the sheriff. You're not enforcing crap at Nellis Dunes because I didn't ask you to do that, and I don't need no help. So, but now they're stopping people because they think they're driving fast, right? And so I just had the conversation to say, please stay out of Nellis Dunes, but we got a grant. I said, give it back, because I didn't ask for your help. But two, unless you're using a radar gun, you do not know how fast these people are going. And
even if you have one, what's the speed limit?
It's 35 on the road, because these are street legal OHVs, okay, which is the conversation that I just had with NDOT. They're street legal, so they can drive as fast as the cars. So, in the trails were meant to get you from point A to point B, but to do 35, I know exactly where this one is. There's no way you could do 35 miles. This is by the fairgrounds, and then it's like this the whole way. So, if you did 35 miles, you'd be up in the air. I know, I've tried it. It works pretty well.
They knew that. They knew that when they bought that property. Come on, man. It's like, I don't like the hotels. Can you take some out? Like, what are you talking about? Like,
I know, but Liston Road, and I tell them I'm trying to pay Pioneer. You know what I mean?
Liston is going to... Can I speak?
Yeah.
Liston's going to be a challenge, and there is actual signage on that road. Part of the money that Vegas Valley Four-Wheelers got for the Logandale Trails grant includes signage, which includes putting up, and Liston is 25 or 35 on. I think it's posted 25, but it is to put up a 25 mile an hour speed limit sign on Liston, more than one, and to put, hopefully, if we don't run out of money in the first round.
Well, you shouldn't, because Clark County should be putting those signs up for you.
But they,
yeah, that's
didn't ask me.
We went. I'll come back and send you the email then. But we also figured we could put a digital speed limit sign up.
Well, you can't, and I'm going to tell you why you can't do that, because there's not enough electricity to run across, and Mendes will charge us a fortune, and I can't do a digital one.
Solar, what about the solar one? Yeah, like they do on all the projects, solar.
I know, but Clark County won't do that. Not out there anyways, because they tend to tear.
But they can, they got a grant.
You can.
We've got grant money, so hopefully that's what we can do with it.
But you still need to. But you're still going to have to work with Public Works and NDOT in order to get in those right of ways to do that.
What if it actually just shows up? You didn't hear that. The other thing that
Oh my God! But then it'll. I'm going to tell you why I don't want to do it that way, because somebody wouldn't put speed pumps in, and I said all you had to do was tell me, because then they came in. Public Works came in and took them all out.
Right, because you can't help. The other thing that
I know, but if they would have told me, I could have said, can you look the other way this week? So
we actually even asked them to put the extra metro pickup at the end of Liston by the railroad track, so that when you make the turn to go down Liston.
What did Sergeant Doty say to you?
I'll think about it.
Okay, before we... I just want to finish this really quick. No, you're good.
I got to go in 9 minutes.
No, you're good. You're good.
Because I caused trouble.
Actually, we only have one more thing, and it's number 24, and it's Kenny Thatcher, your tracking list.
It's
high priority.
How many tracking lists do you have, Kenny?
I got a lot
on Donald. Yeah, he took, yeah.
That one, we got to get some more information. Like these guys said, the information they have is out of date. And when I sent stuff over to the BLM, it's just kind of been sitting in limbo.
And I think we could combine this with 23, because it's about getting information out to the public. So can we combine, get rid of 24 and just include it in 23?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we'll work on it together.
Yep, I'm good with that.
Part of that, can we invite somebody here from the state OHV, since we don't have anybody anymore?
We did.
We had
Matt.
Well, Matt was a different, but we had...
Well, but no, I mean, we don't have Sue anymore, so...
You got to attend. We have... We have
Kent. What they're doing.
Yeah.
My thought was if we could get them to do the PSA stuff...
Well, the problem is...
Make them do it.
Unfortunately, we're also waiting for them to do the mapping. We're also waiting for them to do the, you know what I'm saying? I'm tired of waiting for other people to do stuff. I truly am. So I think, and they've been here to, I'm not saying anything against them, but they have a lot already on there. So let's, we can do this,
they
Mike.
Have access to money.
Well, we're going to get their money from that billion-dollar grant.
I mean, but we can start with Channel 4, though, and do some PSAs with our department
here. But now you bring up a good point. So we as the committee can't submit for that grant. You, the county submit for the grant?
I'm going to.
Make a recommendation.
I think that's what we have to do, right? Yeah.
As a committee, we can't, but as individuals, just like Ross did.
What
we
I'm
can't.
Saying is,
as a committee, we can make a recommendation.
I'm thinking, right? Like, you guys probably have billboards for other things, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest, but if someone would help me do it, I'm really focused on economic development out there, and if I could go find $10,000 tomorrow, but what am I going to do with it? Because, you know.
We need a plan.
For yeah, there you go.
We need,
I mean, who's the marketing person? I mean, what if you, someone tell me where to go get a proposal, but if I go through the county, I got to start with Channel 4.
I'm trying to reach the writers.
Here's the problem is I agree to disagree with the sergeant out there, so it doesn't work so well because I'm not easy to work with, for one. Two, I'm just trying, they got it, that is not going away. Logandale Trails is good for them, in spite of the dust, right? It's good for them. And I'm trying to just get through the process to get Pioneer Road and Liston done because it'll save. But also, as I said to the county this week, can we just put up damn signs so people know where to go and which way to go and one big sign? And they said, absolutely, let's get on it. So,
okay.
This was so yesterday.
Job.
We need to figure out how, what's the best, like social media is definitely a great platform. A combination,
cheap.
It's just, yeah.
Target people that are into OHV stuff and target people geographically that are in OHV stuff.
Well, I think when we do the Logandale cleanup, maybe we should have a pancake breakfast and register some vehicles. Have a great opportunity for people to be there. We could do the pancakes. My husband comes every time.
Well, I can actually get it over. I'm meeting with Bill on tomorrow.
I'm an admin
with all paperwork because there's paperwork for a cleanup. yeah.
Well, I mean, just tell them that our office would like to do more with it.
Oh,
we want to do pancakes.
And tell them, yeah, tell them that our advisory board is also partnering with you, and they're the ones who asked us to clean up Logandale. So,
and honestly, they don't ever do much anyways, except come out and have a booth.
They do, but yeah.
No, they do, but yeah. BLM doesn't. They come out and have a booth and say, thank
all right.
You.
And there was one more item, sorry, on the low priority items, number 11. But it says it's combined with item 19. See item 20, low.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's Nelson Hills Historical Trails in El Dorado Valley. Kenny, you're the task history manager.
I did the proposal for that, sent it to get everybody the maps and everything on the historic power line.
Yeah.
Closed, and that was where it went.
Oh.
Trying to get it open so we could sign it. It could be used.
Do we have to ask the BLM to open it? Whose land
is
it?
No, it's in the county easement.
Oh, I did ask about that, and I think Marcy gave me like a long list. I asked about that. Let me look it up. She did respond to me because I asked about that.
Okay. So can you just add Commissioner Kirkpatrick's going to look into that?
Yeah, just remind me.
Thank you. All right, cool. Everything else is completed, right?
So what do you guys think about the DS and the legislature to... impose a driver safety force like they do in Utah. If you're under the age of 14 in Utah, you have to take a driver safety course to do an ATV.
I don't disagree with that, to be honest.
I think that that's a good idea. Because we're talking about kids, I'm saying, why are you? That wouldn't be a bad thing.
What?
Well, I don't disagree, because if you look in Arizona and you look in Utah, we probably lost 10 kids this year to not knowing how to ride correctly. Right.
Or write proper safety equipment tab on.
Well, I think we can include that under our issue where it's about providing education and information and maybe see how we can get legislation like that.
Okay, they'll talk. Everybody has a legislator.
So, right.
On our agenda here, it says possibly to meet our ads tracking items. I got something I wanted to bring up. I don't know if it's something that I don't. It doesn't need to be high priority, but I wanted to add it to the future tracking one.
Can we do that?
For discussion in the next meeting. And that has to go back to do with mitigation credits from the feds. There right now, there's a 2-for-1 for your conservation, and for every area put out the proposal, they get 2 acres for one. And we need to look at that and seriously make it a 1-1-1. You know, and then I don't know if anybody's seen, but I'm not sure if this is up to date, but it says March 29, 2022, Nellis Dunes Recreation Area going through the U.S.
It is a 2-for-1 because that was his own piece of legislation that happened. And so the county only ends up with honestly less than 1,500 acres of all the land that's out there. But that was a compromise for the monument. I was not here at that time. But so it was a 2-for-1 for the monument in Nellis Dunes. So honestly, Nellis Dunes was not going to happen, but they were just as loud, and that's how they got what they got.
Yeah, it says it's 10,000. It's not the county portion, but the actual whole thing on the
right.
U.S. Code House, whatever website, it says it's 10,035 right. acres. And I'm not sure if I'm reading it wrong or if it's actually in committee or if it's actually been done.
Well, it's done. So the process, as I was telling that guy, is I've been working on the process. So I had to go and get an agreement with the Department of Defense.
Yeah,
and a criteria, so that we could actually use the land that was designated to the county. So that took me a couple years to do because it's not easy to work with the Department of Defense on getting an agreement that works. We adopted it as a county, and so now we've submitted to BLM all of the proper paperwork that they needed, which included that agreement.
So the way I read this is that that's official then as of yesterday? That Nellis Dunes Recreation.
Oh, did they get? I don't know what happened yesterday.
Yeah, it's on the website. It's uscode.housegov, and it's under Title 16, Chapter 1, Subchapter. I can't read the Roman numeral on it, but.
Will you text it to me? Because I'm going to call and ask. But I have been going through this process
for a long time, yeah.
For about 3 years. And the reason why is because I was just trying to put bathrooms out there, and I found out that I couldn't.
Well, it caught my
eye because but EDC could use it for $100, but I couldn't have put a bathroom out there because it was, right. I didn't have.
It caught my eye because of the date. I'm like, well, that was yesterday. So I'll get the info. I'll send it over to you.
Okay, no, that'd be great.
Okay, that's it for the. That's the last item. Comments for general public. Anybody else? You got 3 minutes.
Can I ask for help?
Do you want to just vote on the thing that discussed?
Yeah, can we do it just a flat? Yeah. So can we get we need a motion to approve the changes that we discussed regarding all the tracking items. Can we get a second? Steve Paxton made the motion. Kenneth Thatcher seconded. All those in favor? Anyone? No? We're good. Thank you, Amelia, for keeping us live.
Yeah.
Now public comment. Sir.
You know what I noticed? Did you guys vote for electric?
Oh, you know what? I skipped right past that. Dang it.
Debbie, okay. I thought we already voted you in. I'm not a voter, so I can't.
We
did that last meeting.
Well, so the last one was to go and tell the committee was supposed to end, but then obviously it was extended, so we have to vote again.
I swear we kept the two of you.
Yeah, we
suckers.
Did.
Yeah, right?
Right now in the guidelines, it says it has to be done yearly.
I know, but I feel like last meeting, we voted for Debbie is at the beginning. But you guys can vote again. It's the same thing.
Sure, no one wants to. Do we have any? Would anybody like to be the chair?
Yeah.
Make a motion to keep it as is.
There you go. I was about to say the same thing. Boom and boom. All those in favor.
We want to vote.
Can't vote against yourself.
I can't.
No.
All those in favor? Anyone opposed? Motion carried. Okay. As long as we keep working forward and getting our stuff done, I'm happy to be here. Is that good enough, Amelia? I'm sure it wasn't quite Robert Rules of Order, but it's good enough. Now, sir, can we have your name, and it's your chance to speak.
Kids jokes. Want to talk about nothing, not trying to take anything from trail systems, but let's talk about off-road recreation within the valley, meaning a closed course. A motorcycle track, there isn't a place for a kid to ride a dirt bike. And that's where these kids are going out, causing havoc. I've got 82 acres I'm willing to work something with the county out on developing a park there. And I'm willing to take the lead on it, but I need some type of assistance from the county saying, hey, we're willing to work with you on that, we'll swap this up.
Well, I didn't want to, you could have called me directly, kid, because we've had this discussion, but the neighbors absolutely are opposed to it.
Okay.
So, and the land that you want to trade is in Commissioner Sagerbloom's office, which is near the monument that they're trying to put in, is based on, because Metro's involved, Nellis is involved, so all these people have called me, which you could have called me yourself, but you want to have this discussion now, we can.
No.
So,
he's here, the public.
I know, but I mean, I'm the biggest goddamn supporter of this group.
I know you are.
And so, I just
kind
of being thrown under the bus.
You're not.
For
he's not.
To make it right, and at the end of the day, the neighbors don't want it. They don't want it, no part. They don't want a motorcycle, they don't want a drifting thing, they don't want any of that over there. And so I got to talk to Tick, and Metro has been blowing me up all day over all these things, so it's not on my top priority list. I mean, for the last 2 years, I've done COVID. So this is the least of my, and I've made every one of these meetings. I've never missed.
This is not, we're not, we know you support us.
Oh, Marilyn, that property's in a noise zone.
It doesn't matter. The neighbors don't want it. I'm not going to its goddamn neighbors every time. I fight them enough. Ask Debbie.
Well,
I've been on the wrong side with her before. So
we're working towards progress.
I was trying to help us out. That's what I was just saying. The property's out there.
Where exactly?
Where? Top of Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
The base of Nellis. It's a tail spotter piece of Nellis.
It's in the, yes. Where Nellis is our north property line.
And it's next to the training center.
So we're a 70-80 foot deep hole in the ground. It's a perfect spot for a track. But
is it?
Is it viable? I don't know. I'm just, is the county willing to do it? I don't know.
Well, I would think from something like that, it's a zoning issue.
Well,
right?
I mean, here's the there's 500 reasons why the county doesn't want to do it. One, because of there's drainage issues in that whole area. Metro wants a piece of that. It's very costly. If you all remember, the county did not even want to do Nellis Dunes, which already exists. There's liability issues for them. It's just not the business that the county wants to be in. They're all about supporting the private sector, but to take Parks and Rec money to go build this, if it's not you, it's a skateboard park, it's all these things.
But to your point, so it's not a private deal?
I'm saying I'll build the place. I'll develop an operating manual for it and put people in a place to operate it, but I don't want to own the land. The county can own it. It can be a county park.
Oh, that's a different scenario.
Kind of like Horseman's Park or Maryland. You brought up Horseman's Park, you know, and Nellis BMX. It runs the same way.
Yeah, the county just that's not on their priority list right now. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it's got to be taken in the private realm to be able to do that.
And we just got the emails yesterday and today from Andy at the.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
This is my point. I've heard it 60 times this week, and then you come to a public meeting and bring it up. Good to know.
Well, we're here for the public.
Do you see my cigarette?
Nope.
I got one piece of this on my way down after having a painful meeting with NDOT.
All right. Thank you. We do appreciate you coming here. Thank you very much. Anyone else? All right. And after that, I know one wants to talk now. Thank you very much for everyone coming here. Thank you, guys. We really appreciate it. Franz and Jennifer, everybody, the guests, appreciate it. Staff, Amelia, thank you so much. And the meeting's adjourned. But I think Marilyn needs your help.
I need help on this Logandale thing. Here is the